My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
Jim, we were talking about some heavy hitter comics, man. We did X-Force 1, 5 point whatever million copies. The Death of Superman, 4 million copies. Let's take it down a notch, do something a little less popular. But first, what do you got?
I'm on Patreon, patreon.com/Jim Rugg. I'm showing off a wrestling zine that's out of print, but if you join my Patreon, you can download a PDF of this, and it's drawings of wrestlers I've done for WWE, for commissions, for my own amusement. And that's basically, my Patreon is full of artwork, out-of-print zines, process, notes, things of that nature. There are even notes on cartoonist kayfabe episodes. So patreon.com/Jim Rugg.
Patreon.com/Ed Piskor is where we're serializing the Red Room comics right now. $3 gets you the archive. I got two complete stories up there right at this very minute. And new strips go live every Tuesday. But here's the thing. We really have link trees in the description below. And starting January 20th, you're going to be able to pre-order the actual print copies, the print comic of Red Room, which is going to be coming out. Oh, I guess I can't even say that until the press release comes out, man. We're in a weird stasis right now, but the idea is murder is happening on the dark web for fun and profit. People are watching these crazy videos, pledging bitcoins to have their sick requests processed, and this kind of would be the result of some of those requests. That's a good appetizer to launch us into this this hell spawn.
I believe there are red rooms in the Spawn universe.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about it, man. Spawn number one, Todd McFarlane, comes back out of retirement, man, to sort of help spearhead the Image Comics revolution.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Very iconic issue. Not the first Image release, but probably the biggest, noisiest, certainly sold the most of the Image Comics when it launched. And like you say, McFarlane coming out of retirement was a huge story. I mean, that guy was the hottest artist at the time. I think history has overlooked that a little bit as he goes into the toy direction and, you know, Jim Lee flourishes and Rob Liefeld, you know, all these things. But at the time, hottest artist in comics, and he wasn't working in comics. So when he comes back, it is a big, big deal. You know, quickly, you skip by that cover. I just want to point out Ken Stacy doing the painted version of this cover. Ken Stacy, we looked at whenever we looked at the Steve Rude Space Ghost, yeah. One of my favorite color, you know, examples ever. Stacy, you can find examples of him doing full comics art in Marvel Comics in different places, but I always associate him as like airbrush and painting and stuff. And apparently so does Todd McFarlane, because he hires him to do this cover of his big return.
It's a fun thing too, man, because lots of, you know, Steve Olive computer color on the inside, but we're going to have practical blue line color for the cover, man. You want this, man? That's not radio blur. Stacy busted out his air compressor and airbrush.
Yeah, it's an interesting time period because it's such early days of computer coloring, and these guys show up, especially McFarlane, it seemed like, and the plan was, I'm going to make the best looking comic out there. And, you know, that applies to production. It applies to paper stocks. All these details that, like, Marvel was skimping on, McFarlane was going to go the other way. So this is kind of the most cutting edge you could do in 1992. And it changes fast. As everybody ramps up their digital coloring, this starts to look obsolete within probably 2 years. But at the time, this would have been cutting edge visually.
I would say bite your tongue on that obsolete part, man. That shit was holding steady for a while. But look, man, we got the Moo Crew. Todd McFarlane, Tom Orzechowski, Steve Olive. Like, they would promote themselves as the Moo Crew to Comic Cons and shit.
This is a great example of what I'm saying. McFarlane went out and was like, who's the best letter? Tom Orzechowski does the number one selling book, X-Men. Let's bring him on. Who's the best colorist? Steve Olive, I think, you know, heads and shoulders above, especially when it comes to the cutting edge and doing digital. Had been working on Akira and pioneering the use of the computer for color. McFarlane puts together a top-notch A number one list, like spare no expenses. I'm sure those dudes got paid well for their work on these books. Last note on the credits. Dedicated to Jack Kirby. We've talked a lot about Jack Kirby on this station, and you know, I'm reading this in real time. I was probably 14, 15 at this point. This is an example of like these guys shining the spotlights on who should I be looking at?
Sure, yeah.
Because I didn't have a shelf of Jack Kirby comics at this point, but seeing this kind of stuff, like issue number one dedicated to Jack Kirby, mental note, go find some Jack Kirby comics.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you said that too, because there's a pinup in the back by George Perez, and you know, that's another name that a young kid is going to see. And when you go to the flea market, you see some Perez comics. I saw that pinup. You know, all the old heads are going to be like, oh, you fucking kids. You turds.
Everybody, yeah, the old people say that. The young people are like, why don't you just type it into Google? It was hard to track these guys down, you know. You'd had to find, like, scraps, and that's real knowledge to hear, like, yeah, go find Jack Kirby.
Here's my thesis on this issue and just the premise of Spawn, dude. This is the Hot Topic Century 3 Mall version of Faust. Faust is a huge comic right at this moment. Faust is mentioned and brought up in a lot of the Wizard magazines in those early days, which was a big shocker. Wizard covers and junk like that. But that's a hardcore comic. You had it before it was legally permissible, and I'm younger than you and I had it. So that lets you know sort of the universe that we operated in. So Todd McFarlane, you know, he's a superhero dude. He's going to give you something that isn't more controversial than any Marvel comics from the day until you get to issue 5 when, you know, the Ice Cream Man is chopping off little kid fingers and gluing them on the wall. But you're getting basically a tongue-in-cheek superhero story that, you know, is playing around a little bit with, I mean, it's a Faustian deal that Spawn has made. Literally.
Yeah, I think you're right about those influences, Ed, because obviously Spawn bears resemblance to Spider-Man. Why wouldn't, you know, that was, we're talking about numbers, you know, Spider-Man being the biggest selling comic in 1990, whenever it comes out, you know, setting records. So you don't want to go too far away from what brought who you brought to the dance, right, whatever that expression is. Right. So, you know, you do see that mashup of, like, let's get into the dark with Faust reference, but let's also keep that Marvel Comics. That's who I want to buy. I want to sell a lot of these.
Right.
So those guys that are buying 8 million X-Men, let me show them something that they understand that makes sense within that world that I can sell to them too.
After reading this also, it feels just like, you know, this is a tongue-in-cheek, you know, superhero comic in the same kind of tradition as any Marvel comic, a Stan Lee comic of the 60s. It's just, this is an updated version for a kid who grew up in 1991-92. You know, it has everything you need. But, you know, with all the stuff I've been studying about, just like the craft of writing and the mechanics of putting together a story, basically everybody agrees. Act one is easy. Like, they say stuff like, all writers can get a good act one out of themselves, man. It's about tying things up. That's the challenge and the part where you got to put on your real writer's hat, man. And this issue, just setting everything up, man.
This to me is the first really awesome looking page.
Yeah.
Which surprised me on the reread. I was pretty underwhelmed with this comic on the reread.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is because we've been through this 1,000 times.
Sure.
You know, we look at artist editions. There's lots of, this is something I've looked at a lot throughout my life and thought about what works. But it surprises me that, you know, like there are several of these pages that are kind of background. Underwhelming, those pages.
Right.
And then you get here and you start to see, like, okay, McFarlane the designer, McFarlane the cool artist starts to come out. But it's interesting how this issue works. And I think your summary of it is spot on. Everything you've said describes it really well. I don't know. I was disappointed in the reread a little bit because there isn't too much here.
No, not at all, man. I mean, this is, you know, part one of four, I think it might even say here. No, I guess not. But it is part one of four. He's teasing you for a while, not giving you too much of the costume until, boom, there it is, man. Little Eddie P, fully on board. But check this shit out, dude, because, like, I come a little later.
Well, here, man, at least rotate that for the background, everybody. Yeah, the image staple of rotating your pages.
I come a little later, man. I discovered this stuff, issue 5, from the flea market, and the first new issue that was available in comic shops when I discovered comic shops, issue 8. So I discover the comic, I start picking it up, starting with issue 8, but the speculator shit is still kind of going on, right? I ain't paying $15 for Spawn number 1.
It's unbelievable what I think of that, too, considering how many of these were sold in hindsight. Like,
So I had homeboys who were early adopters, who were there at the moment, man. So this is the 1991, 1992 version of CBR Files. Bootleg comics, whatever you want to call them, man.
This is one of the wildest things.
Also, by the way, these Spawn drawings were a result of seeing Spawn at school, like from somebody's comic or something, and trying to remember what it, like, I, like, when I got home, I tried to remember what I saw and, like, record it.
Well done. That's pretty impressive.
So, like, you could see that's all wrong and stuff. But this right here, man, I'm not paying $15, but what I will pay for is 2 cents a copy at Office Depot. Let me borrow your issue. I'm gonna like crease it up a little bit. Is that okay? It's okay. Cool, man. And I made Xeroxes of the first two issues.
Color Xeroxes.
Yeah, right, man. Like got this like little stinky markers, man. They run out after like three pages.
Look That's at that wild. Stuff.
This is how I read it for years and years and years, man. Like the copy that we're going through that I have.
That. Yeah.
You know, I got, you know, for a dollar or less.
That part I believe.
Right.
But the attention to photocopying and even coloring some of those pages. Wow. This is funny. This is your big moment, right? This is kind of what you're paying for whenever you're buying a Todd McFarlane Spawn comic. You want these kind of big money shots.
Yeah.
But this is him like declaring, he's kind of monologuing in his word balloons or caption boxes leading up to this, recapping his origin, and now he's going to go try to find his ex-wife or his, you know, his widowed wife. That's his mission. That's what he's declaring in this absurd pose.
Good lighting.
Yeah, I would be laying like in a ball on the floor, sad, crying whenever I was going through that internal monologue, but not him.
Yeah, see, the CIA gives you an extra set of tools, man, that you ain't going to be whimpering too much.
It's a good coping mechanism.
Sandwich Witch established in there, and they have their comedic rapport. You know, it's classic, you know, Fatty and Skinny, Laurel and Hardy.
The full moon is present.
Yes. Yes. I don't think he's ever drawn a half moon or anything like that.
Never do something half-assed.
Check out this great stuff, man.
Oh, I love
man.
This stuff. I could do this all day. We could do full episodes on this shit.
Marvel Investor Kit. It includes a grading guide, a price guide, a plastic bag, storage box, 5 valuable Marvel comics and more. They don't even tell you what the valuable joints are. How much you want to bet Wonder Man 1 is in that shit? Sable, Silver Sable number 1.
Oh, I bet they're lousy. And right below it, I mean, look at all of this stuff. Marvel 92 swimsuit special. Ridiculous. And Marvel Universe number 1 to 20. Do you know what these are? I guess that's $4 per issue.
I think I do know. I think they're the three-hole punch
okay.
Character guides that has the front side and back view, and then on the back there's the synopsis and character bios. I think that is what that is. Not 100% sure.
How about the Spider-Man poster book that you can buy, and it's all McFarlane art?
I don't even get a copy. I'm going to invent Image Comics.
Yeah.
Not one copy.
I ordered from them at some points. So.
From this American comic
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah, I ordered from everything. Because, I mean, I'm living in, you know, middle of nowhere, no comic shops anywhere, and seeing this stuff listed. Every now and then I would get scraped together some money and order this.
I would just fantasize, man. Like, I would get, like, $20 after chores and stuff and just be like, well, I could get 4 of these $5 comics. But the truth is, I had no ability to, like, send away and wait. I would rather just go down to the corner store and buy some comics.
It would always bite me. If you know, if you're buying back issues, it'd be one thing, but I would be buying, like, you know, Spawn or whatever, and by the time that package arrived, I had found it somewhere else to end up with doubles of these things. This is kind of, okay, so this is the first, this is Spawn in action.
Yeah.
Again, something that you want in these comics, so give us some, you know, give us that moment. And it makes me think, like, Frank Miller's going to write a gang story for Spawn.
Yeah.
You know, a year later. I wonder if it was like, hey, Frank, here's Spawn. Here's some reference stuff. And Frank looked at the issue and was like, all right, gang war.
Right. Let's take a look at this heinous chick, man. Oh, I guess we got another page. The beat to this is really good, man. You know, throw the dude out the window. That's a good pose. Kind of grimacing against our guy. And then just has, like, a little speck of power. And you... That it's the little cloud that sells it, man. You feel it dancing.
Yes.
And you just imagine they're hypnotized watching it the whole way. Like, that's a good little storytelling piece. And then boom.
Yeah, and the glasses, that again calls back to Frank Miller Dark Knight for me.
Yeah.
There's a moment where the guy's yanked out and the glasses like are floating or whatever. Hold up here. So I think I've figured out how you got a deal on this issue of Spawn. You're missing your centerfold poster.
Oh man,
it's been
cover number
out,
2.
But here's something to look at. These ads were part of the books, you know. Like for me, I was reading every single word that was printed in these comics, and this is how you would start to see like some context for again who these guys are. I think it's interesting that Sergio Aragonés is the third video in there. You know, Liefeld, McFarlane, and Sergio. Kind of cool to see him listed there. But we all remember these videos.
Oh yeah, man, we would watch these shits every day at the Kubert School, man. Kids love chains. And you know what? One of the fashionista reporters says as much. They talk about the gauche
yes,
cape.
Yes.
And they're like, but those chains and spikes. No.
There's the back part of that centerfold. One of the biggest Comic-Con events ever was that Chicago Comic-Con where the Image guys, like, it had become a phenomena, and I think this was their first big public outing, and everybody was there, and it was thousands of people, right? Like over mile-long lines. Outside.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of a cool piece of history.
Fire codes don't abide by a million people in one building.
Imagine being in that position, like you're these cartoonists, and you're like, you know what? I should get a bigger piece of this. If they do a poster book, I should get paid for it. And so we're gonna start our own thing, and then you go to Chicago Comic Con, and there's over a mile-long line that they have to have their own security organizing and stuff, like.
What were you thinking? We were right.
Head spinning, man. It's a wonder those guys kept it together as well as they all did.
Sure.
Because that's rock star shit.
It is, man. It is. And I do like to think of, you know, Todd, Rob, and Jim as being in the exact same position, kind of starting out. Like, once you hit a certain income stream in a way, like, and you're starting a new business, and it's comics... What are you going to do? Like, spend a couple extra dollars on promotion or something? It's a fucking comic. So it's like, they start at the same position, and after all these years, it's interesting to see how their three trajectories have gone so far different. When it comes to financial gain, I mean, McFarlane, you know, stayed true to his entrepreneurship, and he's the winner. Like, last time I checked, like, $300 million net worth. You know, that's the winner when it comes to the money game. All right, man. You ready to see what this damsel in distress looks like, dude? You ready?
All right.
It's Miley Cyrus nowadays, man, on that last episode of Joe Rogan. That hair. And that grizzly-ass voice. Look at them eyeballs all together, close together.
Yeah, it's some interesting drawing there for sure. Weird moment for Spawn, right? Having like the breakdown after he rescues this woman and then she's comforting him. That's a pretty peculiar scene.
Here's Uncle Todd reminding you that he drew Spider-Man comics. Right?
That's hard to understand. How do you put a spider? I mean, that's a spider web. That's not even pretending to be barbed wire or something. I don't know what else would make sense at this funeral, but that's 100% a spider web.
Yeah, he's just reminding you.
Wow.
You know, he's just got to get that kink out. Like it's a motor response.
Could be, yeah, I guess so. Back to these talking heads, which, of course, McFarlane doesn't invent, but this is a piece that runs through several of the Image books early on as a way to just exposition.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things, probably the only interesting thing he ever did with these heads is, like, this is, you know, the modern-day version. The earlier version was 87, so he's given us... Time has passed. You think Sin City was out?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's got that vibe. I marveled at this drawing a whole lot. I love the little meatball head, the meatball hand. Good lighting. Good burst.
It's a good hand. That's a hard position to draw in, especially to make it look kind of interesting. You can do a version of that where it's just the outline of the fingers and that's it.
Yeah.
So a lot to figure out there.
When Todd's talking about drawing hands, three peanuts. You got to draw three peanuts.
That Rust ad is funny because I think Rust was where the first McFarlane Spawn ad is credited to. I don't believe that to be the first true Spawn printing.
Oh, it's definitely not.
But Rust was one of those. So it's almost like an ad swap with Rust.
We uncovered the true story, man. Like the first Spawn appearance isn't that Wizard magazine. It precedes that Malibu Sunshine by 6 months.
Yeah, it's a long gap.
It goes Malbogia. And Malbogia really talks like a dude just, like, from your neighborhood. like, Simmons, if you think you have problems now, I promise you'll have trouble. Your troubles have just begun.
That's hilarious.
You know, it's
yeah,
like,
it
it's
is
like,
just a dude.
It's
yeah.
like my little brother would say that, like, when we were like, your troubles have just begun. I'm telling Dad.
Hilarious.
There's your full moon.
Yes, of course.
A couple ticks off the Spawn meter. And then let's marvel with some Del Keown.
Indeed. I was so into Del Keown, like I was reading Hulk at the time into it, but when Pitt gets announced for Image, yeah, man, cut the nose off of the Hulk, give him that like weird mohawk haircut and big claws, and hell yeah, I could not get Pitt soon enough.
This is the 2018 art school girl haircut. You got your full moon.
Speaking of full moons, man, that's like, he's tracing a saucer or something to get that giant circle. That's math, that is... Not coming off a template.
There's that George Perez piece.
Yes. Yeah, I remember this real distinctly, you know. Like I said, I would pore over every one of these pages, so it was, everything meant something.
Absolutely, and this editorial was a big deal. He had such a distinct voice, McFarlane, and he put it down on paper reasonably well. We knew this voice. We knew this voice from the back of the Spider-Man pages. We knew this voice from the Ego column. And, you know, he carries that on, man. There was no YouTube. There were no podcasts.
I'll be honest. I almost skipped this editorial because, I mean, I've read lots of McFarlane stuff. Interviews, we interviewed him.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I knew this and I know this, what he's saying. And going back and reading this really was great. He's much more gracious, I think, than he has sort of become over the years. Giving credit to all kinds of stuff, including thanking Marvel and DC for giving him the opportunity to provide for his family, a living, large exposure of his talent. All that stuff, but then gives a lot of background on what brought him to this point and talks about different creators through the years and how they were exploited and kind of shown the door. You know, obviously comics, this is comics history. And he sums that up from a creator perspective really well, as you say, articulates his point of view extremely clearly in this editorial. And it really is this, like, go for it. You know, it is a call to arms. He cites some of the stuff like the Eclipses and Pacifics and First and these companies that tried it. And gave creators alternatives and places where they could own and control their work and benefit from its exploitation. So this is a hell of an editorial. Like, it covers a lot of ground, and it really is like, by the end of this, I'm ready to sign up for the McFarlane Army, man. This is good stuff.
When he talks about stuff like the Spawn Spider-Man crossover.
I can't believe that hasn't happened. Mentioned in this editorial, think of all the crossovers. Marvel hires guys for Heroes Reborn. How has there not been a Spawn Spider-Man crossover? Do you think it's McFarlane? It was like after this first issue goes out and sells 2 million, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that."
I was going to get to like this, the graciousness. What we're seeing on the page is an untested,
right?
You know, venture, straight up hedging. This is a hedging editorial because these guys, whatever risks they're taking. You think Marvel ain't gonna take them back, man? If this doesn't work out, and they're like, can I draw Spider-Man again? You think Marvel isn't gonna freaking lick their ball sacks to get them back on board? So you don't want to fully burn the bridge.
Yeah, a couple more things I want to call out are the people that he names as you know, people working at different companies. Liefeld, Lee, Silvestri, Larson, Portacio, Valentino,
you know,
all of your Image guys, but Claremont, Miller, Moore, Simonson, Keown, Byrne, Barron, Gaiman, Romita, Breyfogle. I loved seeing Breyfogle's name in there. Gerber, Layton, Perez, Gorel, and of course Kirby. And his idea here is that by doing this, we're creating a level playing field where we can all make our creations and have them compete with things like Spider-Man. And his final sign-offs are the two things to do. One, don't screw your neighbor. And two, turn out the best damn comics that have ever been on the stands. This is a badass editorial. Of all these Image, like, issue one editorials, this one is got to be, if not the, it's got to be the best one.
Yeah, he's got that kind of, I mean, he runs a business and he's got a million employees, right? You got to inspire the troops, and he has that energy. And you would hear the in the interviews where people would be getting phone calls from McFarlane. Rah-rah type phone calls, you know, his relationship with Mike Grell, Rob Liefeld, Larson. And it was always, you know, an inspirational kind of energy. When he was in our shoot interview, when he was dropping science on us, 5 pages a week, 5 pages. It's going to be the hardest thing you're ever going to do, but you got to do it. Like, he's that kind of dude. You know, he's a coach. Can we take a look at this Malibu ad, man, and just talk about, like... You know, we looked at an Alpha, like, let's look at an Omega right here.
Yeah, wow. Talk about being gifted something. Like, you know, Malibu gets a year to distribute these and just skim some percent off the sales.
How cool is this right here, though, man? Evil Ernie, like, if we're going to give any props, let's give a couple shouts to Brian Polito, who kept his copyrights, man. Because I don't see any of these other comics doing anything afterwards. I guess Dinosaurs for Hire had a little bit of shit.
You know what's in there? Ninja High School, Ben Dunn's... You know, I mean, that thing's been around for a while, that early Ameri manga.
Yeah.
I like this. There's a previews ad that has, like, Spawn and Wildcats on it, and whenever you flip the page, there's the Advance Comics, which would have been Capital City, the other distributor, you know, previews to Diamond, Advance Comics to Capital City. Those were your two big distributors. And I used to read Advance Comics. I can't remember where, like, Mike Mignola's Hellboy is serialized for a year in one of them. I can't remember.
I think it was Advance.
But Advance was you know, it was good to have multiple distributors. You know, like, this is what's going to go belly up in a couple of years after Spawn 1 as the industry collapses. It's the loss of all those distributors is a big part of that collapse. But kind of neat to see, like, Advance here.
Jimmy, nowadays, man, we have Bitcoin. But in 1991, 92, we had comic books. And you could call the insiders, man. You could call Jimmy the Greek at 1-900-420, very apropos, news, and get hot tips on which number ones are coming out, man, what you need to buy, and where your closest comic shop is.
I see these ads and I just think, like, how could they be successful enough to warrant this? How many people were calling this to be like, you got to buy 10 of everything Valiant publishes?
Only 95 cents per minute.
Unbelievable. Updated twice each week. There's another snapshot of, like, that is cutting edge news. Twice a week updates.
And the classic ads in the back. These ads, like this exact one right here, would be on one of the last issues of Jim Lee's X-Men. So it's like a Jim Lee X-Men, but it has an ad for this. Talk about a great little piece of real estate when it comes to advertising your creator-owned efforts.
That was a big piece of my comics education, would just be read every single thing on these ads and figure out comics history from them.
Sure.
You know, I don't know that they actually translated to any useful knowledge, but I pored over them for sure, trying to figure out what was coming out and how I could get my hands on it, what I had to have.
Had to give Spawn 1 a look under the microscope, man. This is cartoonist kayfabe.
It's a classic issue, so, you know, it's definitely something that left a mark on me. One of those, you know, historically one of those biggest comics that I anticipated before it came out, and I stuck with Spawn for a couple of years, so, you know, I liked what I saw.
It's not going to be the last Spawn comic to get the kayfabe treatment, man, but it'll do for now. Ready to get out of here, Jimmy? Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. What you got, Jim?
Patreon.com/JimRugg. Go there, find out-of-print zines and comics that you can download, artwork, scripts, notes, process, basically. Patreon.com/JimRugg.
There's a link tree in the description below this video for all of my stuff, including the Patreon for the Red Room early adopters. January 20th, you're going to be able to order the actual physical copies of Red Room that will be coming out like later this year. All the other books are available through that link tree, so hit that link.
You can subscribe to Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have going on, and it is going to be a big year, Ed. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Give them one more set of marching orders, Jimmy. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.